This is TSM Zero, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. Episode 134 coming to you live from an undisclosed location. The date, December 10th, 2018. The time, 8:45 on the dot, Central Standard Time. This is going to be the best episode ever. Super Smash came out. Smash Ultimate. Sure, you've heard of it. We're going to give our first impressions on that. CWL Vegas happened, the first event for Black Ops 4. We will recap that. And we'll start the show with some ESL Finals. Astralis winning the Grand Slam. And just how can they ever lose again? But before that, let's introduce the crew. Myself, I am Tim. Hello. I will be your captain for this journey into esports. Alongside me, as always, we have Anuj. Hello, Anuj.
Hello, fellas. Hello, listeners.
And we have Brett. Hello, Brett.
Hey, what's up, guys? I can see your beautiful faces today.
I know. Right now, if you're watching on Twitch, Discord is cooperating. The camera, the web chat is working, and we don't sound like robots. We will see. At any given moment, this thing could crap out, though, and we'll have to just go back to our voice. But if you're not watching on Twitch, then I guess that's what it's always been for you. So, hey. But for now, it looks good. And so do you, gentlemen. Allow me to take this moment to pimp out all of our social media. Our Twitter is at The Center Ring. Our website, tcr.gg. It's got links to our YouTube, which is pretty regularly updated with episodes. Our Discord, join the chat, join the fun. We're always in there pretty much every night playing something. Feel free to hop in general chat with us and just goof around. If we're in general, goof around. That's pretty much it. I will endorse you, though. If you listen on pretty much anything that allows to review, give us a review. Let us know how we're doing. It's the only way we can improve. Or ignore you and tell you you're wrong and just continue doing what we're doing.
Which would probably be the case.
Looking at you, Alchemist. All right, I think my intros are fine. But no. We always appreciate it, and I feel like we just don't gripe about that enough. But we do love our listeners, and we do love hearing from you. Someone commented on a YouTube and said we did a good job, and I'm like, damn.
That feels nice.
Yeah, it feels nice once in a while just to be told you're doing a good job. So if you enjoy the show, let us know. We love hearing from you. Let's get into today's show, though, if you gentlemen don't mind. If you will entertain me and the listener, we had a pretty busy weekend of esports. For Counter-Strike, you had ESL Pro League wrap up. Which one was this? Season 8?
Season 8.
Hard to believe there's only been 8 seasons, but I guess that's just what happens when there's so much Counter-Strike going on. You know, we talked about it last week, how it was kind of surprising that some of the teams aren't there. This was a very top-heavy tournament. North being eliminated very early on. I know last week we discussed what's up with North. So I ask you guys this week, what's up with North?
Are they finding consistency for them has been difficult. That's been their biggest problem.
They're pretty consistent, right?
No, they just made the change, right? It's still a relatively fresh squad, right? When you consider Kadian being an IGL, like that's a big change to make. It's not like you changed a rifler or even your opper. I mean, your IGL, there's a whole different play style involved. So I think that takes a little bit of time. I don't see them ever like cresting pinnacle of Counter-Strike, right? Like, I don't think that's what this team is. But I think if they can play top six, top eight, like, those are going to be good finishes for them. I think even in the near future, I don't see that changing a whole lot.
Do you think realistically, and we kind of asked this question when Envy got back into the game of Counter-Strike, how many teams do you think create rosters with that expectation of, and I'm talking realistically, right? I know every team is going to give you, you know, lip service of saying like, no, we definitely want to be the best and we think we're the best. But how many teams do you actually think when they put a roster together, you know, heart to heart, they look at it and say, yeah, we're probably always going to be like a top 10 team. You know, we're going to be destined to be like 8th, 9th, 10th in tournaments.
Go ahead, Brett.
I mean, outside of Astralis, I feel like there isn't a clear second place team, right?
No, and there is, right? I mean Liquid. Liquid's well, I mean, lately, so many finals.
Lately, yeah, but they're, you know, they're consistently losing to Astralis, which will happen because they're Astralis. But I feel like you just get into the tournament and anything can happen. I mean, it's tough. I mean, I'm sure it does happen. I'm sure teams assemble just to kind of get into tournaments. I mean, we could point at one team locally in Envy, right? They put that squad together just so they could participate in Pro League. So, I mean, it happens. Eventually, they'll get better. But I feel like at the top, I don't really feel like teams have that mindset. I mean, it's the egos of Counter-Strike. Like the Counter-Strike player doesn't feel that way. I don't think. I mean,
I think there's 10 teams out there that think they have a chance to be number one realistically. And I think that's also based on what these teams have paid for these players, the expectations that these orgs are setting for them. Counter-Strike's not a cheap game to play, and it's definitely not a cheap game to play at a high level. The money that it requires to maintain a top tier team nowadays, when you start counting travel, hotels, you know, just week to week accommodations, they're never at home, right? Then you're paying them a high player salary. You're paying for facilities. I mean, whatever else you're using. So I don't think it's like just just Astralis and then it's everybody else. Liquid, Na'Vi, MIBR, FaZe. I mean, Mouse, just going down the list. A team like Fnatic going below them. Even a team like G2.
Sharks.
You know, G2 is ranked 22nd.
It always comes back to Sharks for you.
If you're telling me like G2 is not expecting this team to be a top 2-3 team, like that'd be crazy to think that they've invested this much money into Kenny S and Shox and they truly don't think, hey, we're okay being top 15. Like that's all right. Like we'll get by with that. Like that's not going to cut it for those guys. So I do think there are about 10 teams that think they have a chance to be number one and that the expectations are set that they are number one. Like ultimately you're going to be happy if you're Liquid right now, right? You're not losing to anybody else but Astralis right now. You're making the finals in, I mean, so many events. I want to even pull it up. I'm kind of curious to see. But I feel like Liquid's probably been Astralis in the finals 5 times this year. Like, would you say at least 5?
We can get into this later because I do want to have just a discussion around Astralis and winning the Intel Grand Slam, which involves winning 4 of the ESL Intel tournaments throughout the year. And 3 of the 4 victories for Astralis were against Liquid. So, I mean, you can see how easily it could have been Liquid on the other side, you know, winning the Grand Slam if it would just went a different way against Astralis, at least 2 out of the 3 times them meeting in the finals. You know, maybe no teams goes to win the Grand Slam, which was my expectations when this was even announced that it would never happen. But we'll save that. Because I don't want to get too far into that discussion yet, because I do still want to talk about some of these teams that possibly underperformed. My team, to win it all, Sharks, got 9th, 12th place. I don't know what happened there.
It's not bad for them, though. It wasn't last, right? So,
No. And they ended up actually taking 1 against Na'Vi.
Well, even Order, who finished last, I think was up on Na'Vi or somebody quite a bit in one of the first round games. Who do they play first round?
Or they beat, not Na'Vi, I'm sorry. Sharks beat North.
Yeah, Order played Na'Vi, and Order was up on Na'Vi big in that first game, and Na'Vi ended up taking that.
Right?
Yeah, it was like a crazy amount going into the second half, and Na'Vi came back and clinched that out.
It is so hard. It is so hard to upset in Counter-Strike. It is so hard. I mean, I know it can happen, but I mean like a true upset, right? I'm not talking about NRG defeating MIBR, right? Mm-hmm. I'm talking about a true out of top 15 team like Order defeating a top 5 team like Na'Vi, right?
Yeah.
Especially with the maps, like how Counter-Strike works, right? But the maps can be so one-sided in the sense of like, even if you're like one of these lower teams, you're like, all right, all we got to do is take, you know, 9 games on Terrorist side and we'll be fine. And then you just see how these other teams can lock down a certain side of the map, or how they can quickly snowball into where it's just they can kind of think one step ahead compared to these out of top 15 talents. It's so hard to upset in Counter-Strike. But
this is the format to do it in, though, right?
In with the best of round games. I was just about to say, in the best of one is where you have to do it, because in best of threes, it does not happen.
It's very difficult for those teams to do it. There was like a surprise team for me in this event, and that was Ghost Gaming. Ghost Gaming, North American Counter-Strike team. I think Steel is still their IGL, or he's on the team. I don't know if he's, I believe he has the IGL as well. Yeah. But these guys have some, like, they got some talent, man. He's got some young talent around him. It is really unfortunate, again, that you won't be seeing them compete in like the open events with this squad, like for the majors.
Still suspended. Or banned, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, they beat Order 2-0 in the elimination matches, and they came back and beat NRG 2-1. And I thought beating NRG was a true statement game that knocked NRG out of the tournament. NRG is considered to be a top 2 NA team right now. I mean, maybe 3. So that was good for them. I thought they had a really good showing. And then even against Na'Vi, they took a game against Na'Vi in the lower bracket finals. So they went out of there 2-1, but still, you walk out of there feeling pretty good, I feel like, if you're them.
Right above them, or I guess evenly with them, because it's 7th and 8th spot. So it's interesting then that you say Ghost did really well for your expectations, and yet finishing right next to them was G2, who, Anuj, you just said a moment ago that, you know, they kind of should have high expectations with that roster. So would you say G2... underperformed?
Yeah, there again, it's so weird with the French scene, because I feel like this is the same thing over and over again, mm-hmm. where it's going to be me saying, oh, well, you got to give it time. It's a new lineup. It's
a new lineup month.
Yeah, it really feels like it with them. So I don't know. I think this is where they belong at this point. I don't think they're going to vie for a top spot, not with this roster. Kenny S has not been Kenny S for a long time, and maybe he's still close to the same player, but he hasn't evolved with the game. He still plays a very aggressive play style that doesn't always work well with the way Counter-Strike is played at this type of tactical level right now. Shox has been, again, on and off. It's very rare that I feel like we're catching both of them on at the same time, which needs to happen for them to win, but this roster is, I think, where it belongs right now. You know, 7th to 8th in this tournament is not surprising anymore.
Yeah, because if you look, I mean, just look at the teams that were in front of them outside of Renegades. Like, what other team would you put ahead of them clearly, you know? I mean, you could even look at teams below and...
Yeah, NRG, and Big, North. Like, yeah. I thought all three of those teams, in my mind right now, are better than G2. Right. I would take all three of them in a best of three against G2. And hell, the way Ghost performed in this tournament, I probably would have taken Ghost in a best of three against them. So, you know, it's funny because now I'm looking at it. I would even take Hellraisers. Hellraisers is below them. And if you told me you were going to pin them in a best of three, I would take Hellraisers straight up.
That's a solid roster. Yeah. For sure.
So G2, it's funny to say, I don't think they have anywhere to go. It's not one of those situations where, all they can do is go up from here. This is where they're going to stay.
Go look at the other available players. It's like they've done it. They've done it.
Yeah.
They have exhausted all options. If it doesn't work with this roster, they're going to almost have to look at like almost like an envy situation and just completely start fresh or attack it from a different angle.
It can't be like cheap. It cannot be cheap for them.
Like a multinational team, like, well, I mean, look at all French teams,
guys, or like MIBR, right? I mean, for the longest time, would you ever have thought, especially when they changed their name to Made in Brazil, but would you ever think that that team was going to have two Americans? Like, no, you thought SK and SK as in that team was forever going to be Brazil, but you have like MIBR and Cloud9 finally kind of breaking that mold of like, all right, we have to look outside of our little player pool to pick from. Because the Brazilian scene was kind of like that for a little bit, right? Where you had guys like it was between Immortals, Luminosity, and SK just kind of recycling players through that Brazilian scene. And then finally they were like, okay, we have to venture out of the Brazilian scene and, you know, completely backstab America, but we'll get past that. So I think G2 is in a similar situation, or the French scene in general. Navi ended up getting in the same spot as Renegades, fifth and sixth. Navi is another team where it's just kind of, they're really difficult to try to pull any trigger for roster moves because they'll have a tournament like this, or what was the one recent tournament where they were like last place? What was
which,
that one?
Which week? Like in the last few
it
weeks?
It was here? Chicago. At the IEM Chicago. They got last place at that tournament. So it's like you'll have tournaments like that, and then they'll turn it around and get like second place at another huge tournament. You know, they're so different from week to week. It's really hard to kind of decide, okay, well, whose fault is it, or what should you do as far as a roster? Because I do think all those guys play together well. You know, Simple and Zeus. I think Electronic has been an amazing pickup since they've got him on the team. It's just, I think
you get Adren personally for me with that team is like Adren is now available and I think he's still a top tier player.
So who would you knock off?
Edward?
Yeah, like probably Edward.
Yeah, he'd have to be the odd man out.
I mean, I would like to say Zeus a little bit too, but like he's the IGL, so you're not going to move him, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Edward, even, you know, Flamey is hit or miss. They haven't been, it's been like the Electronic and Simple show over there for a little bit now. So, you know, I think Flamey is a better player than Edward. So I think Edward would be the one if you did it. But they're not, again, it's hard because they're not playing like terrible. They did get first at Blast Pro Series. They got second at Epicenter.
That's what I'm saying. It's difficult. You can't.
Yeah,
it is
hard with them.
You know, what do you want to make? What do you want to base your decision off of? You know, if you're only going to base your decision, well, we didn't do well this tournament. Okay, but we got second place the other tournament, right? So it's,
yeah.
I don't know. It's very difficult
this year. So I mean, they've had a good year, right? Yeah. Everyone's comparing these teams to the Astrala standard right now. And that's really, really tough to do because you're getting teams that are placing high, maybe not winning every event, but it's like, oh, well, Astralis has 7 tournament wins this year, 10 tournament wins this year, whatever it is. So that's not
even close, like close second.
that can't be the standard. It's tough for some of these teams because I just don't think there's an obvious choice to be like, let me swap out this guy for this guy, and that's going to fix our problems. Or they would have done it by now.
I was going to say, just kind of building off of that, Anoush, because by then you've lost continuity and the best team in the world has the best continuity. They've been around the longest. They've been together the longest. So you're kind of just doing a reset at that point. Yeah, it's,
yeah, what? So now, so for those of you that don't know, the Grand Slam or the Intel Championship is what, 5 wins in a calendar? Is it 4?
It's just 4 wins.
4 wins. So those are like IEM events. Those are anything like, I believe, IEM events and what else? There's like a ton
DreamHack,
of events involved in
that. DreamHack Masters, ESL, IEM. Yeah. That's about it. You have like
which
the one event.
Which is quite a few tournaments throughout the year, but to think you have to win four straight.
Just four overall.
That's all it is. Okay, so I'm surprised.
No one else has done it?
Wait. That's what I'm saying. It's more difficult than what you think.
Yeah.
It is a lot more difficult than what you think. Honestly, when they first announced it, we can get to this right away then. Real quick, MIBR and Mouse Sports got third and fourth. In the finals, you had Astralis and Team Liquid. Astralis won, I think it was 3-1 against Team Liquid. But that's not even the point of this discussion. The point is discussing what has to happen to the scene to, like, say, Team Liquid to beat Astralis. Because Astralis they are the first team to win the Grand Slam, as Anuj just said, winning four out of a certain number of tournaments. They won $1 million. And I remember when this was announced, it was back in, what was it?
A while ago.
July 2017. So it was over a year ago, this little bit by Intel was announced. And I remember
SK
thinking...
SK was still good at the time.
Right.
Still good?
It was still SK.
You're getting all... Oh, yeah. Well, okay.
And I remember I told myself, this is never going to happen. There's not going to be a team... Because back then, I felt like, you know, there was a winner constantly, right? Being rotated out. But... I didn't know Astralis was going to do what they have been doing and just run the table at all these main events. And like we said, it's not just up against like one team, right? They've proven that they can beat FaZe. They've proven that they can beat MIBR. They've proven they can beat Liquid. You know, throw up Na'Vi, throw up any of these top five teams against Astralis. None of them have proven that they can beat them in the finals. In the finals, I know MIBR finally beat them during the ECS, you know, bracket or group stages, but
even that's such a hurdle. It feels like a championship win, right?
Right. Like when you beat someone in groups and you're like, finally, we did it. It was like, oh, buddy, I have terrible news for you. You'll have to play them again later in the tournament. It's like,
And you'll have to beat them an extra game too. It's like
Liquid had to do that twice this tournament and got smoked both times.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I feel so bad for Liquid because it shows right here. They ended up defeating Liquid in the Pro League final season 8 in IEM Chicago and ESL 1 New York. Liquid was the runner up on all of those. Actually, no, I lied. New York Mouse Sports won, but they still defeated Liquid. It was Pro League. Oh, the Pro League in Dallas, the one we went to. Astralis beat Liquid. So really, out of all this, just looking at since they started this bit, 2, 3, 4, 5. Liquid was second place 5 times.
That's insane.
So,
okay, so let's get into the discussion of what we think could or should happen, you know, to give any of these teams underneath Astralis a run for their money.
So what I think shouldn't happen is roster changes. I think making a roster move to try and beat Astralis is an awful mistake that a team could fall into thinking we're just not good enough. Okay, well, who are we want to, like, internal conflict? Oh, Flamey, it's your fault. You're out, right? I think that's a very bad mistake. I think the only way you can beat Astralis is prepping differently to play Astralis. You know, it's using, I mean, we see it every time. It's their utilities, right? It's how they play. They don't push. They don't try to re-peak in situations as much as other teams. I think teams have to do what Astralis did, right? Fundamentally change the way they think about things. Okay, why did you throw that smoke over there? Was anyone over there? Did you think anyone was over there? Or did you just throw it because that's what you do at the start of the round, right? You smoke off mid. That's what you do. It's like, okay, but do we have to do it every time if we don't think that they're going to push it? I think teams just have to fundamentally change the way they start thinking about not even just Astralis, but just in general how they approach these games.
Yeah, within the top five, I would pretty much agree with that sentiment that you have to find a way to get better. Like, as an individual, like, each of these guys has to find a way to step up and do a little bit more. I think Liquid is the perfect example. It's hard for me to believe Liquid would make a change right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And all of a sudden just beat Astralis. Like, I think there would be a long period of learning and finding continuity amongst each other to be able to do that. But it's tough. Navi, same thing. MIBR, like, how can you get better players than what MIBR has right now? Like, they are stacked from 1 to 5. They are completely stacked. So how much better are you really going to get by making what you would consider maybe a 0.1 rating better player or something? Like, it would be minuscule at this point. They're not gelling together, and that's where Astralis stands out, is they always play well. Like, they are so consistent regardless of the map. They're so calm. I mean, it's really like their demeanor and their confidence that's taking them over the top. I don't think anyone saw this as the perfect lineup, especially when KRB left, right? Like, he was like just a quick exit. It came out of nowhere, and it was like, oh my gosh, what is Astralis going to do?
That was soon after they even formed Astralis. Because remember they announced, like, oh, this is a player-owned organization. Well, Garibi, see ya. It's like, whoa, so much for that.
Well, then they grabbed Magisk, right? And it was like,
it was kind of being passed around, right?
Optic leftover right now. Yeah. Like, he didn't make it in a couple places. I say didn't make it. Like, didn't stick around in some of these places and was blamed.
Wasn't living up to potential.
Yeah, and whether that's all him or not, I couldn't tell you, because he also played with, like, MSL too, right? And
yeah, but I mean, if you look at the teams he was on at the time, he went from Dignitas to North, to being inactive on North, right? He was benched to Optic. And then so to jump from those, like we said, not stellar rosters, and then to be at Astralis level, you're going to get those people that were like, well, I knew he was good on those other rosters if you just watched.
Nobody thought it was the perfect fit, though, when he joined the team. Yeah, and I mean, he's proven to be more than that. He's become a star for them, right? Like, it's hard to say not one of these guys is a star in their own way. I really think all five of them are like all-star level players. And it doesn't always feel that way when you compare them to a FaZe, MIBR. Like, those really have those big brand name players. So I think people behind them need to find a way to play better. I don't know what that'll take, whether that's new coaching, a new IGL, which I think is really difficult to do. But it would really have to be a perfect fit. If Liquid did it, do you think Taco would be the one to go at this point? Or
I think he pretty much has to, right? Because right now you wouldn't put him over NAF. NAF shows up for tournaments.
Definitely wouldn't be NAF. It would Taco or Nitro at the end of the day. So, but as the ones that are even in question.
But even then, it wouldn't make sense, right? And I think that speaks volume to why it would be a poor mistake.
Yeah.
Because Taco does things that not a lot of Counter-Strike players want to do, right? Like, he's okay anchoring down B site, right? Like, he does a job and he does it pretty decent. So he'd be tough to replace and bring in somebody else that maybe doesn't even want to do that, right? So
yeah, I mean, Taco's played poor in a couple of the last tournaments here, and I think that's why his name gets brought up so much. It's unfortunate for him that he's the one that, you know, is no longer on the number one team when they were with SK, right? They have fallen. He's come to Liquid. They've risen. I think he plays a tough position, and to what Brett said, you know, like, he does a lot for a team. And I think a team like MIBR misses him dearly for that role that he played. He was okay letting Cold Zero be a star player. He's okay, in this case, letting Twist or Liege really take over and taking some of these tougher spots to give them more open space. So tough to replace a guy like that, but it's sad that he's talked about when all he's done is stay on top, right? Now, whether that's number one or two, whatever, he's still right there.
Mm-hmm. I think back to when I spoke with Glaive at the ECS finals after they won, and asked them, well, you know, some of us stick around to talk to the players. But you know, and I asked him, I was like, what is your guys' weakness? And the only thing he could think of at the time was the fact that they don't have time to rethink their strategy. Like,
and
that's it. Maybe your weakness is like, we're just too busy. Like,
well, okay,
that's so valid though, right? Maybe, that's a good point.
So maybe teams just watch VODs, Astralis VODs, mirror what they're doing and hope Astralis doesn't adapt. There you go. Short answer.
But yeah, I mean, we know that's not going to happen. I do think it's part of it though. It's like you have to just, when you are playing Astralis, just know they are watching your VODs. They are seeing where you're sitting when they throw a smoke. That's how they shoot you through smokes. That's how they get you with the frag grenades. You know, that's how they are doing the things they're doing. You have
Which
to just
straight from the player's mouth.
You have to change the way you play against Astralis. Not necessarily, you know, Hellraisers needs to change how they play against Na'Vi, right? Or vice versa. You need to change the way, okay, we're playing Astralis this round. Change the way we're doing it. And for the love of God, ban Nuke.
It was funny. Watch Liquid VODs, baited it. Did you see what Liquid did? So like Twist sent out a tweet. He tweeted something out. He tweeted something out and he goes 27-1 is what he wrote on his tweet. And so Astralis assumed that they were naturally gonna pick Nuke as one of the maps. We keep it in play pool, and they gave it an early ban, and I think it threw off the map picks a little bit for Astralis. So they ended up getting trained in that first map, which was a map they won, and that was Astralis's pick. So I think everyone was feeling super pumped until Astralis showed you again who they are, right? Like, they just don't stop. They don't get down on themselves. I don't know. I think a lot of it is their mentality at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they just think they're the best and they're going to continue to play like it, and they just don't get knocked down.
And I think before we get into the relegations, because that is part of ESL Pro League, I do want to talk about what do Sharks have to do to beat Astralis. Let's just wall to wall. I'm kidding. We don't have
pull
to
the,
about
pull
that.
The VP. Pull yeah, the VP method and stick together. Like, stick together for 12 years
and then eventually
might
we'll
have
hit.
A chance.
Speaking of VP, so looking at the EU relegation for their side of ESL Pro League, you did have that going on in Dallas, nonetheless, at the Mavs Gaming Complex. Of all places to host this, I'm not really sure why it was Mavs Gaming, but that's where it was.
State-of-the-art facility, bro.
It wasn't open to the public or anything like that. It was just... It's just, again, speaking, Dallas is the capital of esports. The fact that they do this here. You did have Optic Gaming and Kinguin actually are back into the Pro League, leaving AGO and Virtus Pro going down to the Premier League. Yet again, Virtus Pro goes back down to the Premier League. The question is, will they play in it? I remember back in the day when Virtus Pro was so powerful just because they sold money and they made people watch streams. ESL would make up rules just to get them in the league. Like, oh, no.
We got a one-game playoff coming up.
This we just meant you go into a one-game playoff. Like, no. The rules always were, you know, you got to, you know, they had to play the ball off of Frankenstein's foot.
They're not going to be bending any rules for them this time.
No. So we'll see them in the Premier League. And on the NA side of things, you had Rogue, Envy, Team Singularity, and I don't even know this team. Can't win a lane. Sure, man. Okay. One of those Premier teams there. Sure, they're stand-up guys. But coming out of that, you had Team Envy and Rogue sticking with the... staying in the Pro League.
Dude, Envy was probably sweating. Like, just sweating that match out. That is so big for that roster to keep that Pro League spot.
Yep. And, you know, good on Rogue, too, because Rogue was playing with a sub because they had visa issues. So they did not have their full roster. I believe Uber had issues with his visa, so he could not play. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Uber was the one who filled in. It was Riki couldn't play because of visa issues. So for Rogue, you know, playing with not your full normal roster, good on them for sticking around. Just looking on Reddit and Twitch chat, well, not Twitch chat, but Facebook Twitch chat. Singularity was one of the favorites because of that reasons, but they did not make it. And to the Nuge's point, Envy, being that I met everyone from Envy, I feel closer, and we're friends with, you know, some of the guys from that org. So it's always fun to see them succeed, kind of like a home team, right? They're kind of like Dallas's home team, if you want to call them that.
Yeah, definitely.
But I would be lying if I told you I wasn't a little interested to see what would happen if they got relegated their first year back, when one of the whole reasons was to play in the Pro League.
We would have seen a message tomorrow from Mike sitting in front of his office. Today, we would like to announce the departure of our CSGO team.
Oh, we're taking a step back from CSGO.
Like, he would, yeah, though, that would be.
How did Ricky have visa issues? He's Australian. Is it that hard?
We don't want those people over here.
It's like he's coming from China or something. Like,
I feel like they typically have the visa issues.
Why would it be bad if
North Korea, whatever. Like, it's not like, he's coming from
Chinese people, man.
Why do you hate Asian people?
No, he can say that. He's Asian, technically.
And now Rogue also, remember, they have MSL as well, so that's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there, again, we talked about teams breaking that mold of only sticking with your kind of nationality. Rogue is there. But again, that's another team that comes up in mind when I'm like, okay, especially like with Hiko, right? Hiko has been on top-tier teams. He's been on the big stages at majors. Does he look at that roster and think, yeah, guys, we can eventually make it to the top five? We can make this roster top five quality. We just got to practice. You know, we just got to work on it. Or is he thinking, you know what, this is stable and I'm okay with it?
Probably the latter.
We'll never know the truth. He'll never say the truth. But I would. That's another roster where I'm like, Rogue is not a small fry organization in the sense of, you know, where they come from and everything. So. But good on all those teams for qualifying and everything with that. That closes the chapter on yet another ESL season. And did you see Slasher's tweet today?
Saying Facebook.
How many? So, I mean, that
that's
guy,
what I was going to talk about.
Does his tweet.
That's what I was mentioning before the show, if we wanted to save that for a discussion topic. But we could talk about that real quick.
You know, we can tease it if you'd like. We can do a forward tease and tease to a future episode, maybe next week. But Slasher tweeted out saying that he has been told from sources that ESL is not happy with the way the Facebook deal has worked out. And I say to that, no way. Like, are you kidding me? Like,
listen to us. Should have listened to us.
Dude, we told them when this was announced, they didn't even have to play a match to know that this was a failure. The average viewer count when I get onto Facebook matches, if it's not a Pro League match, is sometimes in the hundreds.
It is.
I mean, it doesn't even break 1,000 viewers at times, which I'll be honest, on the chat side is real nice.
Actually having a conversation with people about the game.
It's like, hey, how's this player doing? No, yeah, but...
It's the quality, too. The quality is awful. It stutters.
It's 720. Like, I mean, you can't watch it in, like, 1080. It's just, it's so choppy. It's constantly buffering on, like, mobile platforms. And, but, I mean, at this point, the talent aren't even backing. Because originally, when Facebook became a deal in ESL, the talent came out and said, no, guys, this is great. Don't worry, it's gonna be awesome.
That's something.
And now nobody's coming to
their
defense on this.
And that's something we'll save. Then that will be the tease that for like a full blown discussion on the platform and looking. You know, now that franchising and these leagues are getting bigger, right? You're going to see more exclusive signings with these type of companies, right? Whether it be a streaming platform or equipment platform or whatever, right? You're going to start seeing this. And at what point does the money become not worth it because it's hurting the product? Which I think we can all say, Facebook hurt Counter-Strike. It hurt the product. But, you know, to Brett's point, I swear if I could go back and find the tweets from like Sir Scoots back a year ago when this deal was signed, and he was like, "You guys just don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, this is fan logic. No one knows what they're talking about. This is a great deal. Great use for the growth of the game." And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah. And then all of a sudden a dead game meme started. So we'll save that though for a future discussion. Because what also happened this week was CWL season opener, if that's what you want to call it, Las Vegas Open started up for the Call of Duty World League. And boy, I was pumped. I was excited. You know, I'm not going to lie. I missed it. I really get into the Call of Duty pro scene. But especially with this one, considering we've played this Call of Duty more or less because it's on PC and it's solid. And boy, this tournament did not disappoint. A lot of upsets. You had FaZe becoming in the 13th, 16th place. You had Envy finishing 9th and 12th alongside them, 100 Thieves, which was a huge, that's Nadeshot's team, right? You have half of the Optic Gaming fan base being fanboys of them. They
disappointing
really played
finish
poorly.
For both FaZe and 100 Thieves, right? Like,
oh, absolutely.
We say finishing top 10, that's not really much of an accomplishment in these types of events. I feel like you got...
Oh, no, yes. Yeah, don't... Yes, thank you, Anuj. Please, do not get that from my... Yes, top 10
like,
are not
good
like in this.
200-something teams in this event, but really you're looking for like top 4, maybe mm-hmm. top 6 finishes to feel decent about your
I will say, shout out to friend of the show, James O'Connor's team. Pittsburgh Knights, they finished in 16th place, but for them, brand new into the scene, not bad. Straight Rippin', boy, do I love seeing Straight Rippin'. That takes me back to the old days of Halo. They made their way back into Call of Duty. They got 8th place alongside Evil Genius, World Champion Org, not the team anymore.
Yeah, the org is with Envy, who actually finished below them
right.
in the game through the 9 through 12 bracket. The surprise was Team Sween. These guys like played really well. I don't know if I watched just a couple of their games. I didn't get to watch a lot of them. Man, they like looked really good. I feel like that's a surprise finish. I don't know anybody on that team just looking at the roster there. But yeah, they seem to do really well in the tournament.
Yeah, Luminosity finished 4th. Splice ended up finishing 3rd after some tough matches against E-United. And then in the finals, you had possibly the most hyped matchup. Maybe if 100 Thieves was there. But Optic Gaming versus E-United. You could not ask for a better matchup, though, to open up your competitive year with Black Ops 4. But if you've been paying any attention to the 2K series going on, it was not a surprise to see Optic Gaming completely sweep E-United 3-0 in the finals. And honestly, apart from the first game where Optic Gaming had a crazy comeback, it wasn't even close.
Yeah,
it was hard point on the first map, and E-United, I think, was up. What was it at one point? Like
236 to like 110 or something.
They were
like
up
that.
By like 160 or something like that.
236 to 120.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah. So they were up over 100 seconds on the hard point. And Optic Gaming came back and completely shut it down and won by a handful of seconds.
250, 246. They went on a 130 to 10 run to finish it off.
You're down that many points and to only give up 10 points in that time when you have to rotate and get to the next hard point. So you're giving up a player and not holding a site. Right. And then to be able to it was insane. I mean, that is totally deflating for a team. And you could kind of see in the two next games, like, I mean, Playster. More importantly, he just looked tilted, right? Like
after
just
that
the look
first
on his
one,
face after
the
like,
camera went to him, and after that first map, Clayster looked like he was just about done. He really did look, and I mean, clearly you're going to see frustration, right? They had that was their game, but they probably knew that they had to take it. They had to take that.
You can't lose it in that fashion, right? Like
right.
Even if you're going to lose that game, like you want to come out of there feeling good. even though that ended so close, that is terribly disappointing loss, especially against Optic. Seaside produced some amazing games. Seaside and like Hacienda. Hacienda surprised me a little bit more just because I don't like the map personally. Yeah. But both of those maps produced really great hardpoint matchups on there.
MVP of the tournament was Dashy for Optic Gaming. Dude played out of his mind.
As Prophet is so insane.
I'm not going to lie. I know that they're probably going to be a balance and new rules after this one coming up. Some of the classes are little OP. Little OP. Well,
you can hip fire with the lightning strike, right? That's what they call it, right? The Prophet's ultimate.
Special. It's insane.
Yeah, it's a lightning sniper.
You can whatever you want to call it. Yeah. And you don't even have to aim down sights.
It's ridiculous.
You don't even have to be right on somebody to hit with the lightning strike. You can be a little bit off-centered, mm-hmm. and it still catches them because it's got like a wider little like hit radius. Yeah. So it's really, really OP. But Dashy was awesome. I mean, if you watch Dashy, it's like not a surprise that... Yeah, I mean, the way he snipes, the dude is just dangerous out there. And people were ragging on, if we remember, like Optic earlier in the year when they dropped, who was it, Octane? Right? Octane was like their star player when they picked him up from Luminosity, and they dropped Octane for Dashy. And Dashy has never been in a big LAN before. So for them to make that move and it pay off in this way, like I can't imagine how satisfying that's got to feel.
It also shows what big impact, too, with Karma coming back. I think he lifts Crimzix and Skumps to a new level, right? I think those three are so comfortable playing with each other that it was
awesome.
a very big deal to see. And especially like after their performance with World War II being so poor, right? It was like, I mean, I get that this is all 100% boots on the ground, but damn, like you guys were Optic. Like this is still Call of Duty. What happened? And so I was really curious to see, because I mean, yeah, 2K's the I know you're amazing on 2K, but that's a 2K, right? Please do not bring your 2K record to me at a LAN. It's completely different. Different levels, right? Especially if you're a pro. If you're a pro, how much do you really care? So
but go ahead.
I was just going to say, the fact that it was able to carry over to Vegas. I mean, I think they only dropped one map.
Yeah, dropped one to United the first time around.
Yeah, they dropped one
when they played them earlier.
They 3-0'd LG. They went 3-1 against E United. And that was winners. Yeah, they dropped one map when it came to the championship bracket against E United. That's it.
Yeah, Splice did take them 5. And Splice game was a reverse sweep. That was probably the best game of the tournament. Because they had to make... They did the exact same thing, actually, to Splice... that they did to EU. They were down heavy on same map, actually, Seaside, and they were down a roughly 100 points or so and made a comeback and did the reverse sweep on that. Otherwise, they would have dropped into the loser's bracket final at that point. But Splice gave them a good run, and Splice also gave EU a really good run also. That game went 5, and they just had like some tough beats for them. But I agree with what you said with Karma. Like, the dude... We played World War II also. So for those of you that didn't, like, the games are really different. I can see how a team... I could see how a team could be bad in World War II and you keep pretty much your same lineup and come to this game. And Lord only knows how good you're going to be. Like, the games are just so drastically different from one another that I'm glad they stuck together. I'm glad they brought Karma back in. He had tweeted out something funny earlier saying that he hadn't played Call of Duty since he got benched up until the beta came out for this new Call of Duty.
Like, he just never touched it?
He's like, I just didn't even touch it from the moment I got benched to the moment the beta came out. He goes, I didn't play COD. So he goes,
I mean, a lot of them did not like it. Yeah. A lot of them did not like it. Now, to be fair... take that opinion with a grain of salt when your team sucks in that version, right? I mean,
we enjoyed it.
You mean you didn't like this one compared to the one you were world championship on? Like, get out. No way.
Yeah. Right?
But nonetheless, it was still very impressive. I'll tell you what, Treyarch needs to get on it, though, because when your game only has like a 10-month lifespan and you still don't have a competitive ladder or pro scene or pro settings in your game, like, dude, you had over 200,000 viewers on this tournament. That's insane for the CWL. For your first event, right? You not even like your world championship event. And I know Optic and E United were in the finals, so you're going to have crowd, have, you know, that's like fan favorite teams right there. But you have over 200,000 viewers. Your game is popular. Like, I get
that needed to launch today, honestly. Yes. Like, the day after the tournament, that should have gone live and not make you wait until January.
We haven't played Call of Duty in like 3 or 4 weeks because we said, love the game, gonna wait for the pro setting, the pro ladder to come out, because I can't do this flaming shotgun. And, you know, we just like to play competitively, so we like to have those same settings. And the fact that it's not out is very, very disappointing, especially because I feel like this is uncharted territory for the CWL and the Call of Duty scene. I don't want to PC master race this, but it definitely seems like it being successful on the PC and the streaming community has definitely helped the viewership numbers on it, because I don't ever remember seeing a open event last year peak over 200,000. So when you have this big of a game now, people are going to want to go and play what they're watching, which was your whole bit on making the pro scene 5-on-5, is you wanted people to play what they're watching, and yet I cannot. So what are we doing here?
No, to completely agree. It's total bummer that it got delayed, right? Because it was supposed to come out right now, and I could have seen them waiting till around this time frame, because again, it coincided with CWL Las Vegas. So sure, that's kind of a cool thing to do. But for them to delay it and now push it back into January definitely hurts, because the hype is naturally going to go down. Like, it's just not going to maintain this level. It's such a big event. So it's normal with any game.
Well, and like, so I said, when people know your game has like a 11-month lifespan, right?
Thing they did do,
I'll still play it, but if this comes out any later, it's kind of like, all right, well, I'm just going to dabble.
It's
going
to be something new. Yeah.
For anyone interested, they did separate the games for Blackout and the MP version. So you can go purchase those separately for, I believe, $30 a piece if you wanted just one or the other.
I did not know that. You know what, though? That's kind of cool, because that makes me think there won't be a new Blackout with the next one, right? Maybe they'll just continue adding on to this one.
Yeah.
So like, I can not feel bad for buying it. That's cool, though. That is cool. Overall, though, very Las Vegas Open for CWL was great. You could not ask for a better opening to your game's competitive season. Looking forward to the next one, which I don't have it here in front of me, but I'm sure it's coming up.
Go to the website. I'm sure you'll be able to find it.
Look it up online, and believe it's... Nope, not that one.
It's a live look at 10.
Well, now I'm determined. Where,
what's funny is I looked it up earlier. I don't think it's listed as the next event. They have the dates or something set, but I don't think it shows.
It's all. Well, that wouldn't be the first time a esports event wasn't listed properly. What can we do? We're only a podcast. So keep an eye on that, though. This episode is running long. Did you boys want to talk first impressions on Smash just real quick?
Give it a 5-minute spot.
Yeah, okay.
It deserves a 5-minute
spot. It deserves, right? It's Super Smash Brothers, for crying out loud. It came out. Anuj and I have a Switch, so we played it. I love it. I think it's a lot of fun. I think there is a skill curve to it. You got to up your stick sensitivity to high. I don't know why they even have that in the game. Just have it defaulted to high. I don't know anyone who's actually playing it would have it any less. I know the online was getting some hate, but it is peer-to-peer. So if you're playing with someone with a bad connection, it's not going to be fun. But Anuj and I can tell you, me and him play against each other. We both have decent internet, and you really do not notice the online being bad.
Like,
I'll be honest with you. I feel like you need to be at least like 20 down minimum. You need to be getting that if you're running wireless.
We're also direct
connected. For it to be comfortable.
We do have to say that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm getting about 65, 70 down on there with the direct connect and it runs great. But I was wireless at the beginning, 2025, and it was working fine. A lot of fun. The game is like fantastic. I love the speed of the game. It doesn't feel slow to me at all.
Feel like Melee, where it was like, holy crap, what am I doing?
Yeah, it's not overwhelming because I'm not great at the game. I just really enjoy playing it with my friends. It's an amazing casual game. I love the character selection, the fact that there's 74 characters and that I was able to cheese the unlock on all 74 of them made me really happy. So it's a great game. I really hope people adapt to it. The pro scene seems excited too.
I hope they don't just say no because they're not good at it, right? Like I hope because I was talking to Brett about this the other day at work, is because he was asking, he's like, so what do you think about it? Do you think some of the pros from Melee are going to switch over? And I'm like, man, I get the sense that with a lot of Melee pros, not all of them, like Mewtwo and Leffen and all them, I think they can adapt, but a lot of them I don't think want to learn a new game because they're not going to be top five at it, right? There's a chance that they may not be a top 10 every tournament, right?
Look, they know certain cheese mechanics right now.
Yeah, they're comfortable in Melee, right? They're in their little comfortable bubble. They don't want to go and learn something new that has all this, oh my God, this is like a million player pool, right? Like, this is way different than Melee.
Again, I said this earlier, and it probably was a hot take or not a popular opinion at the time. I hope tournament organizers just throw the money at Ultimate and kind of let Melee die off at this point. I love Melee. Great game. Great. Keep it. Play it with your friends. But like, tournament organizers control this completely. If your money is put towards Ultimate, people will play it. And what a great viewing experience this game would be. It looks gorgeous. Yep. It plays great. They can use Nintendo Switches, so they don't have to worry about having CRT monitors for these guys to play on. You can do something neat with, you know, the stages and actually have some fun stuff for a game like Smash. So I really hope tournament organizers put the money towards Ultimate and let that kind of run, because it is popular right now, dude. I mean, I'm surprised at the number of people that I've run into that are playing the game.
So what's your character? Have we decided? You should probably have, I mean, with like 74, you should probably have like two or three that you can kind of rotate.
I'll give you a couple of favorites here so far for me.
Okay.
Go ahead, Brett. What were you going to say?
No, go ahead, Anuj. I'll go after you.
Okay, so I'm liking Roy. Corrin, Bayonetta, and Little Mac and Falcon.
Ooh, Little Mac, though.
Little Mac, man, if it's the right map, that dude.
If it's the right map, aka if it doesn't have a pit anywhere, if I cannot fall off, it's a great map.
Give it like to just even, what is that, the main map?
Battlegrounds or whatever they call it.
No, not the Battlegrounds, just the flat one, the one surface.
Final Destination.
Yeah, Final Destination. Throw it on Final Destination. This little son of a gun will just run back and forth, Mike Tysoning you up and down the whole court. So a handful of characters I'm really enjoying playing. I mean, there's even more that I really don't mind getting on. Who am I best at? None. But I enjoy
one girl, the one, I don't know her name. You were pretty good Korn? With her. Is that who it is, Korn?
Her survivability allows me to make some of my fatal mistakes that I make and still get back onto that ledge.
So I haven't played it. I would love to play it, but I've been watching a ton of it. Yeah, I know, right? I watch a lot of Tim, and I've watched a lot of streamers play, and I can tell you one character that just to me looks way better than everybody else, and he's kind of silly, is that King
K. Rool.
King Koopa.
Yeah, King K. Rool. That guy is OP. Is so OP.
Did y'all talk about this before? I need to know right now.
No, we did not.
Did you and Brett have a conversation we played?
I swear this is unassisted.
Okay.
Tim
has no characters unlocked. Okay. Tim just logs on and it's like whatever they gave him. I think he maybe got two or three characters.
I've unlocked. I think I've unlocked like 10 characters now.
Now you have. But like,
still, I did not jump on and do the grind. I jump on, did my normal thing, and then I go online and play. I don't.
Yeah.
So. I find, like, I kind of was like, all right, I have like 10 characters to pick from. Let's make it work.
So Tim was swapping between, I think it was like Bowser and Koopa, if I'm not mistaken.
It was, well, K. Rool is the
alligator. K. Rool, I mean, and yeah, K. Rool, who's the other big boy?
The other guy was switching. A Donkey Kong?
DK, yeah. So, that guy has some pretty interesting moves to him. He throws these stupid cannonballs, and then when he gets you to jump, he just sucks you into his horn. It's a little infuriating, not going to lie.
Oh, it's so fun, Tim, though. So fun.
But Tim's good at Smash, so he also is doing this to me. Again, I don't necessarily applaud you for that. But I
was whooping up on a Nuge.
It was annoying.
I did unlock Simon, and I really do like him, too. I feel like
Simon is a great character, quick, yeah.
A lot of recovery and everything there. So,
but like his younger brother counterpart.
We also play Smash, so if you have Smash, you can follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/thecenterring. If you ever see us on, ask us for the little lobby code, and we'll give it to you. And we could do 1v1s, 4-man, 2v2s, whatever. And we kind of just rotate out on whatever we want to do. So let us know. We'd love to play with some of the listeners. If you don't have crappy internet. If you have crappy internet, I guess you can be a spectator or something.
Yeah, or we just boot you out of the party. Don't take offense to it. You can... Yeah, watch from the sidelines.
We'll just say our internet died, turn off the stream, and play without you. That's also an option. But nonetheless, let us know. Oh, Smash. Lots of fun. Let's get into some e-news, though. There's not a whole lot in Counter-Strike. If Astralis winning the Grand Slam wasn't confusing enough for everyone, PLG is having their own tournament this weekend called PLG Grand Slam. So that's the 12th through the 15th. Has some big players in that. Refresh stands in for Golden, as Golden is still out for C9 with this mystery medical sickness issue.
I thought they revealed what it was, and I'm not recalling it right now.
Okay. But
they,
I must have missed it.
Automatic said what it was, I think, on stream.
Really?
So I can go pull that later on. But they did mention. I don't think it's a hidden.
It's got to be worse than a known thing. It's got to be pretty big. But we'll see. He's subbing in for Blast Pro, or at Blast Pro. Counter-Strike came up with their big update, their big tease that they were going out all week. Danger Zone, it's a Counter-Strike Battle Royale mode. Okay. You know.
I mean, okay, so first of all, I love the concept. I love the idea of a Counter-Strike. I love the idea of a Counter-Strike Battle Royale game. This is like really in its infancy. It's very beta-like in terms of play and quality. It needs a lot of work, but I'm glad they're doing something new and branching out. The bigger news, Counter-Strike is now free to play.
You know.
I think that's great. I think that's huge for the scene. I mean, I understand people are going to say, hackers this, hackers that, you know, hopefully you're playing in prime matches. It is significantly less. I mean, I've played a ton of prime matches. So I do feel like it's a lot less. You can buy a prime game for $30, but you still have to spend $30,
right?
It's $15. And I'm pretty sure they took away the phone requirement for prime. So prime is literally just if you paid for the game, you can now play in these matchmaking.
Yeah, ultimately, it's growth for the game. I think this really will help to make it free.
Ultimately, anyone who even cares about competitive Counter-Strike anyways isn't playing on Valve's matchmaking servers, right?
Yeah.
If you really want to play competitive Counter-Strike, go play Faceit or ESEA or something like that on a proper 128 tick server.
And Faceit has their own version of Danger Zone, so they increased their HP on it. They did a couple of tweaks to it, so you can go play on Faceit as far as Danger Zone goes as well.
There you go. Just like everything else has to do with Counter-Strike, the third party makes the game better, because Valve does not. Other news, you had the Rocket League Collegiate Finals this weekend, actually here in Arlington at the Esports Stadium. Arizona defeated my alma mater, UNT, in the finals. After UNT reset the bracket, they got swept for nothing. Honestly, I'm impressed by UNT's play. They definitely were not the better team. Definitely not, if you were watching. Their defense was off. Their communications looked off. They just weren't the better team, but they were in the finals.
Yep. They weren't the better team, but they have maybe one the more exciting player. They definitely had a hard carry there.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's collegiate Rocket League.
Yeah, that's so, I mean, you know, take it for what it is. But it was still entertaining.
It was cool to see.
It was cool to see that, and it was also cool to see like the actual official Rocket League esports Twitter account tweet about it. Like, it was not just like some throwaway tournament. It was legit tournament. Yeah. It was in the game for Rocket League. They were sponsoring it. It was legit.
There were 30,000 plus viewers watching that Rocket League tournament. So, I mean, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It's a good showing. Big. Yeah.
It was big. That will just about do it, though, for this episode of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 134 in the books. It's done. I thank you all for listening, whether you skipped, jumped all the way around, listened to the whole thing. Either way, I love you all the same. Follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. You can get all of our updates on there. You can see when we go live on Twitch. We stream pretty much almost every night. For sure, Wednesday, Thursdays. But, you know, we don't have a whole lot going on. So we're typically on all the time. So you can catch us there. Join the conversation. We have viewers in there watching us talking esports. So it's fun. Again, let us know what you think of the show. You can leave comments on YouTube, iTunes review, anything else. I'm pretty sure you can leave a review anywhere. Our Twitter is also the best way to do it. Again, at The Center Ring. We will be back next week to talk more esports. What? I don't know exactly. We'll have to look at the schedule and what's going on over the weekend. But I'll promise you, it's going to be fun. Anyways, again, we are The Center Ring. I thank you for listening. For Anuj, for Brett, I'm Tim. We'll see ya.